Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, this is so cool. I am so excited for the show today. We are going to get to your phone calls here a little bit later in the hour when we open up the phone lines for you and anything you want to talk about all across Montana. But I'll tell you what, I saw a press release yesterday from Governor Greg Gianforte's office, and I said, oh, man, we have got to see if we can get Mike Rowe on the show with us. Mike Rowe, what an incredible guy he is. We've got Governor Greg Gianforte with us on the phone lines right now. Governor, really cool deal taking place in Great Falls here later today.
Yeah, and what an honor to have Mike Rowe with us. He's been the champion for trades education. He's been working on this for 17 years, way before trades education was cool. And we're going to be at NeighborWorks. This is a group that uses Great Falls students to build homes. They're learning skills. And this is what Mike's been pushing for 17 years. We're going to be celebrating NeighborWorks' 50th home that they constructed in Cascade County. And I'm just thrilled to be able to do it. We've been big supporters of trades education, but we're just following in Mike Rowe's footsteps.
So incredible to have him back in Montana, the one and only Mike Rowe. You guys know him from Dirty Jobs, and then, of course, now his great program that he's doing, like the governor just mentioned, to promote trades education and these incredible opportunities. Mike Rowe with the Mike Rowe Works Foundation. Mike, an honor to have you back on the show. You're already on the ground in Great Falls, as I understand it.
I'm sitting here blushing furiously at all the kind words bestowed upon me. Thank you, Governor, and thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Well, Mike, tell us why you wanted to be in Great Falls for this event today, and then we'll talk more after the break as well.
Well, the short version is the headlines have caught up to the mission of MicroWorks, and it's happened a lot like the frog in the boiling water, you know, a little bit more year over year over year, but I think the governor knows probably better than most governors what happens if you ignore a skills gap that just continues to widen. Nothing good. And, well, I'll just tell you anecdotally, not a week goes by that I don't hear from the leader of some critical industry asking where the tradespeople are. It could be the maritime industrial base. It could be automotive. It could be AI. It could be energy. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, millions, in fact, millions of open positions that don't require a four-year degree, but rather the mastery of a skill. And I'll leave you with this because I know you got a break, but there's a meme that came out today with Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA. And the direct quote is, the next generation of millionaires will be built by plumbers and electricians. And to hear him, to hear a guy like that, who's running a $5 trillion company, articulate the truth that we've always thought was pretty much self-evident, that's gratifying and scary at the same time. And the reason I'm here is I just want to celebrate the fact that you guys in Great Falls are a part of the solution. The governor should be proud. And so...
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let me go right back to the one and only Mike Rowe. Mike, I was kind of running some of these numbers by you during the break here, just in terms of the incredible demand there is to fill some of these jobs in these trades industries. But first, you said something very interesting. You said as you travel across America right now, there's two kind of governors. Tell our listeners who these two kind of governors there are.
Not just governors, elected officials in general. Our elected officials either understand the power and the need for apprenticeship programs and for outreach programs that meet kids where they are, right? As we talk about how to train the next generation of skilled workers, our elected officials either understand the proactive way to do that or they don't. And I think one of the great benchmarks or metrics that you're going to see in the coming years are which states figure this out first. And I'm not an economist and I don't have a crystal ball, but I can see the writing that's on the wall now. South Dakota gets it. Montana gets it. Texas gets it. I can go down the list. So, yeah, that's a big thing to think about. But look, with regard to numbers, here's one that really keeps me up at night. 5-2. 5 tradespeople retire every year and 2 replace them. It's been that way for 11 years. 5 out, 2 in. That's part demographic pressure, but it's also the stigmas and stereotypes that have kept kids from exploring these kinds of careers. And so it's not just enough to say, oh, there's a skills gap. We have to understand what's causing it. And it's a multi-front war that needs to be fought. And I love the way you guys are fighting it in Great Falls.
Yeah, Governor, later today, of course, you're going to be celebrating, what is it, the 50th home, basically student-built home built in Great Falls. This is there's great programs like that across Montana. In fact, one of our kids went through the Career Center program in Billings, and they build incredible homes. It's a great experience for the kids. But talk about also some of the new things that are being done here in Montana, because I know you've been a big follower and fan of Mike Rose for quite some time.
Well, Great Falls and NeighborWorks in particular, which has been around since 1991, they get it. They've been building homes for people. And every time I go into a shop class in a high school, I say, stop with the birdhouses, build tiny homes. And many of them are doing it. And they're available for teachers and starting nurses in the community. But we made it a priority at the very beginning. We have there's a housing affordability challenge in this country, and it's mostly a supply problem. And if you want more houses, you need more carpenters, plumbers, electricians. That's why in our first year in office, we enacted the Montana Trades Education Credit. We'll pay any employer in the state of Montana through a tax credit $2,000 per year per employee for up to 50% of the tuition to go to trade school. We've done our workplace learning experience that gets high school students out into local businesses. Could be a mechanic shop. It could be an architect's office. It could be a construction site. Gives them real-world experience, and they can see what it's like. And then we've changed our apprenticeship programs, really, to emphasize them. We changed the ratios. That alone, just changing our journeyman to apprenticeship ratios, quadrupled the number of apprenticeship slots. We have more people in apprenticeships in Montana today than ever in our history.
That's great to hear. Mike Rowe, what stands out to you? What would you highlight or what would you add to it?
I would take everything the governor just said, I'd put it in a sound bite, and I'd make it part of my reelection campaign. That's exactly it. The country doesn't need a cookie cutter approach. You guys have to figure out what works best here. I think it can be emulated in certain places, but here's the thing that I've noticed traveling around that I think is so interesting. For years, I used to argue that the exact kind of program the governor's discussing is important because it equips individual kids with the skills that they'll need to provide for themselves and for their families for years to come. That's still true, but something new has happened, right? Something new has entered the chat, as they say. And I just saw it last month in Western North Carolina, where a one shop teacher, right, a guy who really had a bee in his bonnet, built this facility, and 20 kids have built 4 homes for victims of Hurricane Helene. There are still people in those hills, as you guys might know, that are living in tents and trailers. And so the need for housing has become existential. A couple weeks ago, same thing in New Orleans. Great organization down there called Uncommon Construction. They're teaching kids how to build homes, not just to equip them with the skills they need, but because our workforce writ large can't do it. We're not delivering on the homes that we need for the people that we have. And so I find it extraordinary that the solution to this is teaching 17, 18, 19-year-old kids how to build a great home under the right kind of supervision with the right kind of tutelage. That's amazing. And if you can't feel good about the youth. If you're looking for a Gen Z story you can feel great about, how about the fact that they're building our homes for us?
Yeah, that's great. And what both of you are saying, too, about building the homes that are needed and the ability to build more of the smaller homes for starting families right now. You know, our friend Eigen Graf, who's a great home builder in the Gallatin Valley, he was just talking about that just a few weeks ago with us on the air about how sometimes those are the hardest to build because of government regulations. And I know that's something the governor has been working to tackle here in Montana as well. Another quick break here on Montana Talks. Governor Greg Gianforte and the one and only Mike Rowe joining us live, back right after this.
Military matters.
As the U.S. military buildup in the Caribbean continues, Venezuela's defense minister ordered the country's 200,000 soldiers to prepare for war. Colombia has halted the intelligence it will share with the U.S. This comes a day after Fox confirmed reports that the U.K. began limiting some of the intelligence it shares in the Caribbean. Both countries have concerns U.S. military strikes against 19 boats killing 75 people contravene international law and amount to extrajudicial killings of civilians. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the U.S. does not need help from other countries.
We have very strong partnerships with the U.K. and other countries. Again, nothing has changed or happened that has impeded in any way our ability to do what we're doing, nor are we asking anyone to help us with what we're doing in any realm, and that includes military.
The USS Gerald R. Ford, the world's largest warship, is now in Latin American waters after being ordered by the Pentagon to leave its deployment to the Middle East ahead of schedule. For Military Matters, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, thankfully, both Governor Greg Gianforte and Mike Rowe are both able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here, and then we'll open up the phone lines for you if you got something you want to talk about. But, yeah, Mike Rowe with the Mike Rowe Works Foundation. In fact, he was just in the room with President Trump, and we'll talk more about it here in a second. Several CEOs. I can't wait to hear the readout from that. Back to Governor Greg Gianforte. This is a report that is apparently hot off the presses and ties into this conversation. I know our friend Sarah Swanson, your state director for or commissioner for the Department of Labor and Industry here in Montana, apparently the 406 jobs report was just released, what, a couple of days ago. Governor, what are some of the highlights that you found in that 406 jobs report?
Yeah, Sarah and the Department of Labor did a tremendous job engaging the private sector in understanding what's going on the ground. Here's the big picture, Aaron. We have a population in Montana that's underemployed. We identified about 100,000 people in Montana that are of working age but aren't in the workforce for some reason. So 406 jobs was a comprehensive, I think they did 17 town halls all over the state to understand how we build bridges for these people. In part, they're veterans who have come home and they may have a skill mismatch with the jobs in the marketplace. They could be inmates that are reintegrating into the community, and they're not matched up properly. Could be people with disabilities, could be Native American populations. And so what they've done, they've identified 12 specific initiatives that we're going to implement over the course of the next year, and then with the legislature in 2027, to build bridges for these individuals. So 406 jobs, it's four career pathways, zero barriers to entry on six specific high demand fields, including trades, including healthcare. So it's a big deal. We want to get more people working because that's what nobody starts out life saying, I want to grow up to become dependent on the government. There's dignity and there's respect in supporting yourself and standing your own feet. We want that American dream for more Montanans.
I just got a great message on the Montana Talks app here from Pete. Pete says this: I just want to thank Mr. Rowe for all he does. My son received his grant a few years ago. He went to MSU Northern for ag mechanics, if I recall correctly. Was the first in Montana, the first at Flathead High School, or maybe just the first going to MSU Northern. But without Mr. Rowe's grant project, it would not have been possible for my son to graduate. Thank you, sir, for all you do and have done. That's pretty cool there, Mike.
Well, you're welcome, Pete. Please give your boy my regards. We We set up our scholarship fund precisely for guys like him and women. You know, we're trying as best we can to put our money where our mouth is. It's easy to talk, obviously, but we've gotten a lot of support. We've awarded $18 million so far in these scholarships across the country. And I think maybe what I'd like to share is the enthusiasm. I said earlier that the headlines have caught up to the themes of the foundation. By that, I mean we're now getting help from companies that, frankly, I never thought I'd hear from. Banks, Wells Fargo is going to be there this afternoon with us, Governor. They've been amazing around this whole effort. Even giant companies are looking around and seeing huge need in the portfolios of companies that they represent. And I just saw this firsthand in Pittsburgh at an energy conference. There were 35 CEOs in a room with the president, Howard Lutnick, all the cats were there, you know, half the cabinet. It was a big deal. And how I got invited, I don't know, but I was there, and they pledged collectively $92 billion, with a B,
3 minutes,
to build
stations.
Data centers in Pennsylvania alone. So I'm just pointing this out so Montanans can understand the scope of what's happening nationally. You're talking about 500,000 electricians needed immediately. It's the numbers are so big, it leaves people feeling a little suspicious. But very, very quick aside, I got a tour of a data center in Texas 2 weeks ago. I met three electricians, all under 30, all making upwards of $230,000 a year, all of whom had been poached three times that same year from other companies. That's how keen the shortage is. And the complicated thing is that's bad for our country, but it's a heck of an opportunity for people who want to learn a skill that's in demand.
And frankly, it's a matter of U.S. national security. We like these data centers or not, we need them. Industry needs them. A national security apparatus needs them. And now we need the energy for it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Again and again. I got a call from Blue Forge Alliance, which a lot of people have never heard of. They oversee the maritime industrial base. That's 16,000 individual companies who are collectively charged with building and delivering three nuclear-powered subs to the government every year, to the Navy. They called and said, Mike, we're having a heck of a time finding skilled workers. And can you help? I said, how many do you need? I swear, Governor, I'm not making it up. They said 250,000. So the numbers are vast. Oh, and then they said, do you know where they are? And I said, yeah, I know where they are. They're in the eighth grade. And that's why we're here. We're looking for programs that are going into high schools early to teach these basic skills. You're right, Aaron. It's only a matter of national security.
What a message there, Mike Rowe. What an honor to have you back on the show. I wish I could see you in Great Falls later today, but thanks for being with us here today. I know you got to run. Governor Greg Gianforte, final thoughts from you. I know you got to run. And what can you tell us about the announcement later today?
Well, Mike's spot on. We need to be helping our young people as early as possible get exposed to these careers that they can pursue the American dream with. We're going to be celebrating that later today. As Mike mentioned, there's going to be a number of corporate sponsors there, including Wells Fargo. They've been a huge supporter. We're going to be celebrating NeighborWorks' 50th home that they've built since 1991. This is increasing supply for affordable housing, and it's teaching real-world skills that people can use to develop a livelihood that allows them to pursue the American dream. So it's a lot to celebrate there.
All right. Governor and Mike Rowe, an honor to have both of you on the show this morning. Especially thanks for the quick turnaround in joining us here on Montana Talks this morning.
Hey, it's a time to move quickly, Aaron. Anytime.
All right. Thank you, Mike. And Governor, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, they've got to run, but I tell you what, Great Falls is in for a treat. Man, that was fascinating to listen to that back and forth with the governor giving kind of some Montana-specific angles and then Mike Rowe doing what Mike Rowe does.
So cool. All right. 406-294-0970, the number for you. What do you want to talk about? Or what's your reactions to what you just heard right there from the one and only Mike Rowe? You can give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. In fact, I think we've got one caller on the phone lines who's just been chomping at the bit here to join us on the show, so I can't wait to hear what, I think it's John and Bozeman, right? Yeah, John and Bozeman on the phone lines here. John, we'll get to you in just a second. Right on, John, messaged in. He calls it Bozangeles. He says this: in order to get affordable homes, we need to harvest more timber on a large scale and fire up more mills quickly, thus more jobs in the timber industries. Right on, John. Right on to that one. Thank you for that message. Let's see. Listener in Columbia Falls also messaging us here. Good to hear the governor and Mr. Rowe. I think part of the problem with skilled jobs is during the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, many of us were paid minimum wages and treated like tools, a.k.a. tossed to the wayside when used up, leading many of us to discourage the youth from pursuing these trades. And then on another note, the reason the gentleman still sees non-English-speaking truck drivers is because they aren't really trying to remove illegals. He says Columbia Falls has a big Hispanic population. So anyway, yeah, that's another conversation altogether, talking about the trucking industry as well. So I'll share some more thoughts on that one. Let's see. First, though, let's go to John in Bozeman on the phone lines, and the number for you, 294-0970. John, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Aaron, I was just wondering if you knew anything about the 65-94th test group.
I don't. Maybe if you describe it, I might recall something. Tell us about it.
The group that I was in was called the 65-94th test group, and we had a lot of responsibility in getting out of the Cold War.
Oh, wow. Well, what can you tell us on an unclassified platform here? Because wasn't there a memorial that was just unveiled in Ohio or something our producer Caden was telling me about?
Yes. The 65-94th test group, our job was to pluck out of the air the information box, the film canister from Big Bird spy satellite before it hit the water.
Interesting. Wow. And you were a part of all that, huh?
Yeah, I was the crew chief on the HCC-130s.
Did you make it back? Has this monument been unveiled already, or are you going to be back for the ceremony?
No, I was just, I had just found the group in the day before, the Friday before. I just found the group on Facebook and read that they had just unveiled this monument at the museum in Ohio, and I was like, dang, I missed it.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, that would have been cool to be at. Well, hopefully you're able to reconnect with some of your fellow test group veterans as a result of that, maybe through their Facebook page or something like that. As somebody now who, my unit was on the ground in Iraq right now as we speak, and I joined up a little later on as a replacement, but now as I look back on 20 years, I can see, how great these reunions truly are to reconnect with your brothers from back then.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Chinese purchases of U.S. soybeans have stalled just 2 weeks after Washington highlighted a trade truce with Beijing that was expected to boost exports. It's reported following a burst of buying in October, Chinese imports of American soybeans have slowed dramatically, with traders saying they're unaware of any new shipments. The pause is raising doubts about whether China, the world's top buyer of soybeans, will follow through on its reported plan to purchase 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans in 2025. Analysts, including a StoneX broker in Singapore, suggest the pledge may have been more of a diplomatic gesture than a firm trade commitment at this point.
Hi, I'm Morgan with EasyCar. You've told us you're done with hours at dealerships haggling and waiting around. Welcome to EasyCar, where you've always wanted to buy a car. On the EasyCar site, Get your new car, truck, or SUV online in 30 minutes or less. Your personal sales manager guides you via video with transparent pricing. No stress, just ease. Start exploring our site here now. Set up your appointment right now online or give us a call.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced continued support for the Direct Interstate Retail Exemption for Certain Transactions Act. Introduced by Republican U.S. Senators Roger Marshall, Tommy Tuberville, and Cindy Hyde-Smith, would increase marketing opportunities for smaller meat processors and give consumers more options to buy local beef.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation here, the federal government shutdown is now over after a handful of Senate Democrats finally voted with Republicans to end the government shutdown. Of course, Montana's U.S. Senators Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy consistently voted to keep the government open. And same thing for Congressman Ryan Zinke and Congressman Troy Downing from the Western and Eastern Congressional Districts, respectively. I've got reactions from both Zinke and Downing following their votes yesterday to reopen the government. And then, of course, President Trump signing that legislation into law last night. We'll talk about that and more. Plus, yesterday, right at this very same time on the show yesterday, we had a caller, I think it was George, who called in, and he said, hey, how much is this government shutdown costing the country? And Will Cain actually shared some pretty interesting numbers on his show yesterday on Fox News. So maybe I'll play that for you here in just a second. First, let's go to Tracy in Kalispell. Tracy, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for all you do. My comment is I have a grandson who's actually graduating from MSU Northern in he's going to be an electrician. So how do we get a hold of Mike Rowe and these guys to put his name out there?
Good question. Yeah. So, okay. So he's graduating now. How do we get him a job? How do we, get him linked up? I had another listener send a message, similar regard. Please post more info regarding apprentice programs for young people. I have two recently graduated grandchildren that are undecided where to go. And so, yeah, I should get something on our Montana Talks website about, so you've got a kid graduating or a kid about to go into one of these programs. What next? Where do they go? So I'll have to post that info on our Montana Talks website. I do see there's a website here, apprenticeship.mt.gov, apprenticeship.mt.gov. So that could be a great first place to start to just, find contacts, more information on a state level, for example. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you. What did you think about Mike Rowe and the governor? What stood out to you from what they were saying?
Oh, they were amazing. We knew this was coming down, because everybody was retiring. Excuse me, I dry throat.
I hear you.
No, we loved it.
It's kind of you mentioned something there about with all of these people retiring. I mean, look at how massive the baby boomer population is in Montana. And I think the term is called the silver tsunami. And, a lot of baby boomers wanted to retire four years ago, or they were already retired 4 years ago. But then inflation and everything else kicked them in the backside so badly they had to come back out of retirement. But eventually that silver tsunami is really going to strike. I mean, you think we have, a skills need right now. Wait till that silver tsunami hits the beach.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct. Well, thank you, Aaron. You have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much, Tracy. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. The one that immediately stands out to me, the line that Mike Rowe used, was the line where one of these, what was it, a CEO? Was it the maritime industry guy needs help building the submarines? And he asked Mike Rowe, he said, what did he say? I need how many hundreds of thousands of employees, skilled workers? And he asked Mike Rowe, where are they? And Mike's response was, they're in the eighth grade. That's where they are. What a brilliant response and brilliant insight as well. The other thing, if we had a little bit more time with the governor, was, you know, Mike Rowe was talking about, I think he was quoting one of the CEOs that was at that energy conference with him. It was an energy conference back in Pennsylvania that I think Senator McCormick, one of the new newly elected senators, was hosting there. President Trump in the room, 35 big-time CEOs in the room, and then, of course, Mike Rowe, aside from President Trump, probably the next most important man in the room. But you know, Governor Gianforte also recently hosted an energy conference of his own. They had the big conference in Bozeman. And so I was going to ask the governor kind of on that front, because it ties in with what Right on John was saying in Bozeman, Angeles. Right on John was saying, look, hey, we need timber. If we need housing, we need timber. We need more mills back up and running as well. And same thing on the mining front. We need more miners. We need more mining jobs up and running right now. And it reminded me of Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana. He was with us for our Capitol Hill coverage just a couple of weeks ago, and there were some eye-popping numbers that Jesse shared. He shared them with us on the show from Capitol Hill when we did our show from Senator Steve Daines' office, but he also shared these. He was one of the keynote speakers for that energy conference, along with the Secretary of Energy, President Trump's cabinet member, and several others. But a couple of the lines that Jesse had in his speech that he shared with us on the show, one dealt with timber, one dealt with mining, and they both stood out to me. One was this: since 2001, we have lost over 2 million acres of Montana forest to wildfire, far more than we've harvested in that same time. That's roughly 30 billion board feet of timber, enough to build over 2 million homes, gone. The total economic output of that wood, including the mills, truckers, and businesses that depend on it, is easily over $40 billion. That could cover our entire state budget for 5 years. Okay, that's about timber. What about Montana mining? What about Montana mining? It's not just logging in Montana. We've got mines with over 100 billion, with a B, 100 billion pounds of copper in them. That's enough to rebuild our energy grid twice. And it's just sitting there. It's 40 years waiting on a permit. And he's referring to a potential mine near Libby, Montana. And, of course, that's where Jesse grew up. So he knows how important those jobs are to that community. Go to MontanaTalks.com. All of our coverage from D.C., but I also specifically did a story with those two stats in particular, the eye-popping numbers shared by AFP Montana's Jesse Ramos. All right, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Dave in Malt, listening to KBUL. Dave, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Aaron, this is Dave. I just wanted to call in. I'm headed to the Ag Days, used to be called the John Deere Ag Expo at MSU with the FFA kids, and it kind of goes in line with your discussion with the governor and Mike Rowe. It's a lot of preparatory things for trade work and letting these kids know that there's a lot of opportunity in ag, and not only ag, in construction and welding and electronics. There's a lot of different things going on, and I'm really glad to see that, like the universities, MSU is bringing the Gallatin College onto the university campus. They realize that trades are an important aspect, and no longer you don't necessarily need 4 years to get prepped for that.
Yeah, what a great point. Yeah, so that's the big event. That's November 13th through the 15th, the annual Montana FFA Ag Expo. That's a big deal. What are they having, like 2,000 high school and middle school students from across the state that are going to be at that? And ag is massive, but it's like you say, FFA, man, they cover a lot of ground, not just farm and ranch ground either.
Yes, it's a real good program for students to get involved with, and it gives you some other alternatives. And for some of the kids, you know, I taught high school VOAG for a little bit, but for some of the students, it's a reason they stay in school, that they have something that they can do physically and that fits the bill a little differently than your traditional subjects do.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, I recognize your voice. Are you wearing your Kansas City Chiefs jersey right now, Dave?
No, I am not. I'm more of a Bobcats fan, Aaron. So we're keeping track of that.
Oh, I was going to say with your name being Kelsey, I remember seeing you at the Electric Co-ops meeting with your Kansas City Chiefs Kelsey jersey on. So that's why I was wondering. Huh?
No, not today.
Not today.
And Aaron, thanks for getting the governor and Mike Rowe on. I'm glad they worked with you. That interview with the back and forth was tremendous information for everybody, and really glad you're there doing what you do politically, and things just like this that should have no political connotations to it.
That's right.
Just promoting,
Montana
promoting
stuff.
Alternatives for kids to get involved.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'm glad I recognize the voice there of Dave Kelsey calling in from Molt. He's a great guy, but also has served on the board for Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. And, of course, I get a chance to see him every year, especially at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting. Dave, thanks for sticking around. And what a nice surprise phone call here today. But, you know, as I was going, when Tracy called in from Kalispell and she was saying, okay, what now? I got a kid about to graduate. What now? And I mentioned the Montana Apprenticeship Program website as a potential resource. But when I was searching for Montana apprenticeships, one of the things that was popping up was an electric utility lineman apprenticeship program as well. And I know you've got, you know, great insight on that. Talk about a good paying job, a great job opportunity to stay right here in Montana. There you go.
Oh, yes, it's a great program. And Aaron, we have our apprenticeship program in-house at Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. And it gives us an opportunity to recruit younger age people to bring them in and work through our apprenticeship program. And they know then our system, they know what our needs are, and they're prepped and ready to go when they become a full journeyman lineman. So it's a tremendously successful program and a very good paying job for some of the students to get involved with.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's a great program at Highlands College in Butte where folks can go to get a degree in a relatively short amount of time, too.
Yes, that's a great lineman's college up there. It gives the participants of that a lot of experience in what they need to be able to do, the physical aspect of it. They get some educational background as well. But there's some bookwork that has to be done with regard to the apprenticeship. But we have an in-house instructor at Yellowstone Valley that does a tremendous job with preparing our apprentice candidates for all of that.
Well, Dave, thanks again for calling in. That was a nice surprise. Greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for everything you do, Aaron. Talk to you later.
Too kind. Bye. All right. Thank you. Yeah, greatly appreciated. Okay, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, I just remembered yesterday on the show, on Tuesday's show, we had a caller, I think it was George, called in and he said, hey, how much did this federal government shutdown cost us as a country?
Here you go. Here's just some of the numbers that Will Cain from Texas shared on Fox News yesterday.
And after a historic 43 days, we thought we'd highlight a few other numbers. After the longest government shutdown in history, we're looking at over 50,000 flight disruptions since Friday when mandated flight cuts began. 670,000 workers furloughed, all to the tune of almost $90 billion, according to the White House's total economic loss estimate. And for what? To stick it to President Trump.
The damage caused by the Democrats with this reckless government shutdown cannot be forgotten. They started this shutdown with a ridiculous demand to force taxpayer-funded health care benefits to illegal aliens who broke into our country. The Democrats are totally captured by their far left-wing base who only care about attacking President Trump, even if it means hurting innocent Americans in our country.
All right, that was, of course, Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary. All right, meanwhile, I've got reactions on our Montana Talks website right now. Of course, both Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy consistently voted to keep the government open. Montana's representatives, Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing, likewise voted to open the government. Just before President Trump signed the legislation into law, Congressman Ryan Zinke saying, quote, "Shutdowns are bad for America and bad for Montana. I voted to prevent this shutdown in September, and I gladly voted to end it today. This package is a good bipartisan solution, and I fought to make sure it includes real wins for our state, from funding fire departments in Ronan and Powell County to providing certainty for rural communities that depend on reliable government services. Congress has come together. And I urge the president to sign this bill so we can keep our government open and get back to working for the American people." And, of course, the president did very quickly sign that legislation into law and had some fun remarks to watch in the process as well. Congressman Zinke also laid out what he sees as Montana wins in that very legislation, and it's all spelled out on our Montana Talks website right now. Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District saying this: after more than 42 days, Congress has finally reopened the government. With the Senate's amendments to our Clean CR passed, Americans across the country who have been deprived of nutritional assistance, critical programs, or their paychecks will no longer face the hardship and uncertainty brought on by this shutdown. This is a good thing. If we want to prevent something like this from happening in the future, Congressman Downing says, we cannot forget how we got here. Democrats voted for more than 6 weeks. That's 42 days or 1,008 hours to keep our government closed while Americans suffered. There you go. Like I say, full story, all the details, check it out. MontanaTalks.com. Freedom Friday coming up, taking your phone calls and more. What will we talk about tomorrow? What a nice surprise today with Mike Rowe.